Oh, thank you so much for having me today at Mount Hawthorn. It's so nice to be with you all. My name is Sally, and I'm here. I'm a candidate, actually, with a mission organisation called Global Interaction. And what that means is that I'm planning on going to Mozambique at the beginning of next year to a town called Lishinga to live with an Islamic people group called the Yao. So that's going to be happening at the beginning of next year. But today I'm here because I'd love to, well, I want to talk about fear. And it's something that, as we've just seen, Scripture talks a lot about. And actually, it's something that's been a huge barrier in my own life. So yeah, I wanted to be a bit vulnerable with you today, and I wanted to share with you some of my own personal journey in this. Because I guess it's not that I have it all together, that God has invited me into his work overseas. In fact, I'm weak, I'm fearful, and God continually has to work in me as I trust in him. So I want to tell you about my first ever panic attack. I was sitting in science class in year 10, and I just started to feel this tightness in my chest and this feeling that I couldn't breathe anymore. It was completely overwhelming. The walls all seemed to be closing in on me, and I just felt like everyone was watching me. I didn't know if I could even move, but I managed to get the attention of this friend who was sitting next to me, and she actually got me to the nurse's station, which was great. But the next time I went into that science class, the same thing happened. And before too long, it wasn't just isolated to science class. It was happening in all of my classes, and it was happening on the bus. It was happening when I'd go to the shops. It seemed that anywhere where there were people around, I started to get anxious. It seemed the more that I avoided the fear, the more the fear of it actually controlled me. And I actually learned a little bit later on that the trigger for these attacks had been after a routine operation where when I was waking up from an operation, I had this sensation of not being in control. The nurses, they were talking to me, but I couldn't respond. I couldn't even move. I could never have imagined how this simple, seemingly insignificant thing in my life could have had a trigger that really, really impacted me and still impacts me today. So I actually ended up leaving school in year 11 and I did my final year by distance education. I struggled to leave the house and I was fearing fear itself. By the time I got to 18, my friends were starting uni, they were getting boyfriends, they were going on trips overseas. But I was at home carefully planning my every move so that I could avoid being in any situation that could possibly bring about a panic attack. I knew that the place that I was in was unhealthy. I knew I wasn't living to my full capacity, but I didn't have the strength or the courage to move beyond this. I had gotten into a place where I was a slave to fear. And fear and worry is not a new thing. It was very much present for the nation of Israel, who were preparing to enter into the land of promise. And so I would love to share with you this morning a bit about what God has been teaching me as I've battled with fear, a bit about that chapter that we've just had read to us. Thank you for that. So that was in Deuteronomy 31. And during this time, the Israelites, who had been part of the Exodus generation, they'd all died off by the time we get to this passage, except for Joshua and Caleb, and at that time, Moses. So here we see Moses speaking to a new generation of Israelites who had spent their lives wandering in the wilderness and are now camped on the east bank of the Jordan River opposite Jericho. Just across that river lay the promised land, everything that they'd been looking forward to for a generation. There's land, there's security, an end to that wandering. It was there just across that river, but they were stuck. They were afraid. They were so near and yet so far. And it's understandable that the Israelites would be fearful at this point, where they're about to cross the Jordan River and enter into battle. Isn't it interesting that to inherit God's promises, they had to conquer their fears? Fears of a river that was overflowing, fears of conflict with the enemy on the other side. God had placed their inheritance just across that flooded river. And their inheritance is not empty, ready to be taken. No, there's this fight, there's a battle. They have to step out in faith and overcome their fear if they're to obtain that inheritance. And it makes me wonder what God's promises are in our own lives. I wonder what river that we might need to cross to obtain them, where God might be calling us to step into faith and trust him, even in our fears. For me, that huge fear was being seen as a failure. I didn't want to go into any situation where I was vulnerable, where I was weak, where I could have a panic attack. I was afraid to step out and even be around people. So how do we cross that river? How did the Israelites cross the river to defeat the nations when they were filled with that fear? Moses tells the Israelites in verse 6 of chapter 31, "Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you." Moses is reminding the Israelites that God's presence is continuous. They can trust God to not leave them, even if their fear is strong, because God is with them. God will never leave them. They can trust this because God hasn't left them in that time in the wilderness. Had they been perfect in the wilderness? No. But have we been perfect up until this time in our life? Probably not. But even though they had messed up several times, God gave them what they needed to survive. And Moses is telling the Israelites that even now, when the task seems so big, God is Lord. He is Yahweh. And he will not leave them. The Israelites must know God's love for them. So what happens when they go to cross the Jordan? Well, the Israelites now have Joshua as their leader, and the Lord tells him that as they cross the river, it will stand still and they will be able to pass. God gives specific instructions for the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant, and we read in Joshua 3 that as these priests touch their feet into the water, the river stops running and all of the Israelites are able to pass on dry ground. They then go on to defeat the various nations. I think that's so amazing. The river only parted as they stepped into it. They could sit around discussing all the tactics as much as they liked, but until they actually faced their fears and decided to go ahead and step into the river, the river remained. It remained this barrier that they could not cross, and their inheritance remained on the other side. Joshua 23, verses 9 to 11 reads, "The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. To this day, no one has been able to withstand you. One of you routs a thousand, because the Lord your God fights for you, just as he promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God." Joshua here, I think, is saying, Israelites, church, remember how the Lord has already helped you in the battles that you face so far. He's brought you this far. Your inheritance was just across that river, and he didn't abandon you. No, God fought with you, and he will fight for you. This promise is as much for me and for us today as it was for the people of Israel then. Not only is God for us, but he loves us. The author of Hebrews reminds us of this again in chapter 13, verse 5, that God will never leave us or forsake us. And that's something that I just continually repeat over and over again to myself. So you hear it a lot when I'm talking even now, because I need to be reminded of that daily. Just like the Israelites took the step of faith as they crossed over the river into unknown territory, we too can have faith that God will lead us through our fear and into freedom. But they had to take that first step into the flooded river, and then God would do the miracle of dividing the water, and they could move towards their inheritance. But they had to take that first step despite their fear. Just as the Israelites were able to trust in God by how he had already provided them in the wilderness, so we too can trust in God through the gift he has given us through his son Jesus. In John 14, verses 2 to 3, Jesus gives us hope in the promise that he is preparing a place for us in eternity. We do not have to live in fear of this world because we know God always keeps his promises. He will never leave us or forsake us. He is with us in our trials and in our sufferings, and there will be a day when that is no more. Just as there was a day when the fighting ceased and Israel was able to rest in their promised land, so too will we one day rest in the presence of God, away from the struggles this world presents. Until that day, though, we are told to keep being courageous, to keep being strong, because we're not alone and we can reflect the glory of God as we step out and trust him and give our fears to him, as we take that next step towards our inheritance, even though we might be afraid to take it. My battle with fear and anxiety was hard, but in the midst of my struggle, I experienced God's great love and recognized the peace that Jesus brings. Others had to actually speak that into my life, and it wasn't until I went on an Easter camp in 2007 that I realized the power of God's love and the freedom that he gives. I gave my life to Christ on that camp, and I asked him to set me free. I still get anxious, but now I choose to step into it and give God my fears, knowing that he has not left me alone. As I learn more of who God is and experienced his strength, I was actually able to go on a mission trip early in 2012 to Mozambique, and I was able to see the work that God was doing amongst the people there. The Yao people, just like the Israelites, just like myself, face fear on a regular basis. Witchcraft is huge over there. They mostly live in extreme poverty, and so death is actually an everyday occurrence in the villages. Many Yao have not heard of the freedom that Christ has given us because they have not yet had opportunities to hear of his good news. They live their daily lives in fear, not knowing of that hope. Yet God is working there and he's inviting others to be a part of that. So even though it scares me a little bit having to leave the comforts of this home, leave my friends, leave my family, I'm clinging to the promise that God will never leave me or forsake me. I needed to take that first step towards my inheritance, even though I was afraid and still am. And by God's grace, I now get to be a part of the work that he's doing amongst the Yao people in Africa. And you can be a part of this journey of seeing the Yao released from fear and into transforming relationships with Jesus too. There are other ways of being a part of God's work with the Yao other than just going to Mozambique. I really need prayer supporters. I need people who would be willing to pray with me and for the relationships that I will make with people there. Because when I go over there, I'm going to be learning the culture. I'm going to be learning the language. And my everyday will look like visiting people, being with them, doing life alongside them and sharing Christ with them. So I know that it's God who will bring those relationships, and I'd love to have some people supporting me through prayer. And then to actually get there, I actually need financial supporters, people who are willing to donate something to help me to get there and stay there. It's actually a long-term investment. I'm planning on going there until God leads me on. So it's initially 3 years and then come back to Australia for 6 months and then go back out for another 3 years and so on and so forth. Because it takes time to learn a language, it takes time to get an understanding into the culture. And as we all have experienced, it takes time to even build those relationships. So if you're interested in being part of my journey in any way at all, I'd love to chat with you. I have a sign-up sheet to get my prayer letter, and I've also got a little bit of material over there and my supporter card as well that has a box you can tick if you'd like to pray or donate anything. I'd love to chat with you more about this and about some of the experiences I've had out there as well. I was able to go there for 9 months a couple of years ago. But right now, I would just like to pray for us, if that's okay, because we've just been talking about fear, and I think that that's something that's that's probably quite relevant to a lot of us. It certainly is for me every day. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that our hope is in Jesus, that you've given us an inheritance to look forward to. I thank you that in this moment now you have not left us, nor will you leave us as we continue to put our trust in you. Lord, give us courage and strength to face each day, to face each battle. We know that you are our provider, our comforter, our strength. Father, for those who do not yet know you, like the Yao people, we pray for transforming encounters of you. Lord, may you release them from their fear as they come to know you. May you form faith communities among them. So, Lord, please help us not to be fearful. Please pour out your Spirit onto us, into us, overflowing onto and into those around us. We thank you that we are yours. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thanks.
As Sally's just said, she's willing to take questions. So if you do have a question, please ask it.
Awesome.
Are you part of a team who's going to be there?
Yeah. Yes, I am. So I'm going with an organisation called Global Interaction, and already on the field is there's four families. There's the Becks, the Cranes, the Houstons, the Falconers, and the Goods. Sorry, there's five families. So the aim is to spread us all across this one road that's probably takes about 4 hours to drive down, and that's where the various Yao villages are. So yes, so I'm going, I'll be with a team. They're already all out there. I'm preparing to go. Yeah.
Yeah. While you were talking, I was reminded of a famous African who said, Nelson Mandela, who said, courage is not the absence of fear,
yeah,
but the conviction that there's something stronger. And and I love the way that you gave that picture of the river, not God magicking a bridge, but actually having to go through it.
Yeah.
And if it's okay to ask a personal question,
yeah,
can you tell us a bit more about what was the step into the river for you and how you did it and what it was?
Absolutely, absolutely. Apart from that encounter of Jesus that I had on that camp, which was sort of a realization that I wasn't in control of my life, that actually Jesus could be the center of my life and not me. After that, it was this, because the anxiety didn't just disappear. After that, it became a process of going. So one thing that I love to do is singing, maybe a couple of weeks after this camp, a lady approached me and asked if I would be interested in singing at some event, and I would have said no straight away. But because I had had this encounter with Jesus and I had been imprinted with that verse, he will never leave me or forsake me, I started going, well, maybe I need to stop praying that God will take away my fear so that I can do things. And maybe I need to start praying, God, use me even though I am fearful. And so it was that changed mindset and going, I'm going to step into this. So I said, yes. And I went up there. And to be honest, I was so nervous, I did a terrible job. But I kept saying yes to those opportunities, and I kept, as they kept coming up, I kept going, I'm going to trust Jesus in this because I know that I'm weak. I'm very much aware of my weaknesses. Now it's time for me to rely on God's strength. So I had to keep doing that. And, you know, when I got asked to go on this trip to Mozambique, the short-term one in 2012, that was another huge battle for me because I had learnt what it meant to trust God in my own environment, but what would it mean trusting him in another environment? And I actually had very limited understanding of anything. I'm born in South Africa, but that's about, I moved when I was just 3 years old, so I have no idea about that continent. I have no idea about Mozambique. So I was petrified, and I originally said no, and then I said yes, and then I got on the plane and I got to the airport and I was saying, no, I don't want to be here. But again, I had to rely on God's strength, and even as my heart's pounding so much, I just had to keep taking, and sometimes it's just taking that one step at a time, isn't it? Just going, I trust you with this step now. So I guess that's kind of what the journey that I'm on is, just to keep saying yes to the opportunities that God provides me with, and to trust that despite my weaknesses, he can be strong. So, yeah. Yes.
I can easily be heard, but I've got to be recorded. Can you remind us where Mozambique is?
Absolutely.
The neighbouring countries?
Yeah.
I'm a bit vague as its relation, say, to Kenya.
For sure, yeah. So it's on the east coast of Africa. It's in southern Africa. So it's just above South Africa, below Tanzania, and to the west of it, you've got Zimbabwe and Malawi. So the place where I'm going to be living is a town called Lishinga, which is the very top of, or close to the top of Mozambique, so nearer Malawi and Tanzania. So there's the big Lake Malawi that I'll be really close to. Yeah. No worries.
Thanks. What led the group that you're going with to focus on this group of people, the Yao people?
Great question. The Yao people are actually regarded as a least reached people group. So global, which means that they have limited access to resources or anything to help them form a faith community. So that might mean that they don't have access to Bibles or in their own language, or it might mean that they don't have any leaders in their communities that already know who Jesus is. So that's the case with the Yao people. There aren't leaders there who know who Jesus is. So Global Interaction have a statement that they work with 9 least reached people groups. So they've kind of gone through and gone, these are the people groups that we've got workers in that have limited access to knowing who Jesus is, and so we want to work with there. We want to see faith communities formed.
Do the Yao people have any religion now, or what sort?
Yeah, yep, absolutely. So they are Muslim, the majority, so the 97% or something are Muslim. However, they also very much go with the traditional African religion. So that is their worldview, that traditional African religion. So you know the praying to the ancestors, that's very strong for them, that's part of their culture. But the Muslim influence, so that Islamic influence, they have the rituals and the ceremonies that are linked up with that. So things like Ramadan, going on Fridays to the mosques. So the Muslims have done a great job of evangelizing them, and now we're going in and we're sharing who Jesus is, and we're seeing that God is working there and is already doing something amongst them. Yeah.
I was just thinking about what you're saying about fear and anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how you're saying God use me even though I am scared, which I can see is a really important shift instead of fear stopping you from doing
yeah.
things. I guess I was thinking and wanted to suggest that perhaps fear isn't actually the enemy, and I think our Western society often makes fear the enemy, that fear is bad and we need to get rid of it to be able to do things. And I think another way of looking at that is that fear is actually a very helpful emotion, and it's very adaptive, and it makes us tune into things that could potentially be dangerous and be prepared for them, and
yeah,
those sorts
yep.
of things. So there's a school of thought that suggests that fear is not the problem. It's
yeah.
fear is a problem only when it stops us from doing things that are important.
Yeah.
So from that, I was just sort of thinking in the way I like to think about fear is more a sense of, God, please use me and my fear, yeah, rather than even though I'm scared, but use my fear as well, because that can be helpful.
Yeah, so yeah. Sort of cool, thank you.
Sally, you mentioned going to a camp that had a big impact on you.
Yes.
How did you get to the camp in the first place? What took you there?
Yeah, that's a great question as well. So because I was so isolated when I was in the middle of this anxiety and panic attacks, I didn't really go to youth group or church or school. I wasn't even at school. But I did have one friend who sort of came into my life, and she was just instrumental. We were very good at, just sharing life. And she was on a different journey, but also one of still discovering who Jesus was in her life. So the two of us would meet up and we would just catch up, and she spoke a lot into my life, and she was the one who strongly encouraged me to go down to this camp because her father was speaking. And so she kind of said, well, you know, you'll be a part of our family, you can come down, you can be with us, and you can be a part of that. So it was amazing how God put her in my life, and she still is. She's my best friend today. So I'm very grateful that God has, given me her.
Where was the camp?
It was down in Albany at Camp Kennedy. Yep.
Thanks, Sally. I've got a similar story.
Oh, awesome.
Couple of things. One thing, missionaries these days normally aren't welcome as missionaries. They've usually got a trade. Have you got a trade? Or?
It's not needed in Mozambique. Oh. So the visa that we're currently on is a religious visa. So we're very lucky, because definitely in some areas you have to enter on a platform. I mean, Paul was a tent maker, and we're very blessed that we can actually enter in and say that we're missionaries, and we've got a religious visa for that. Yeah.
Mozambique's not a Muslim country,
is it? Mozambique is actually a Catholic country. So it's just the people groups within it. It's made up of several different people groups that are follow different religions. So the Yao people are the ones, they're quite isolated as well because they speak Chiao, so that's very much their tribe. And so they speak Chiao and they follow Islam.
Can I also make a confession, personal confession?
Yes.
I mean, I probably know you, obviously I know you better than most people here do, but I hardly know you at all. I've always thought of the words mispopularity when I think of you. You know, you're always up the front, leading worship, in the spotlight, doing that kind of stuff. And today, you know, what you've shared with us has just been brilliant, especially about the anxiety and stuff. It's been great. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you so much.